Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
For now, prompting is king. How you communicate with these tools is hands down one of the most fundamental skills when it comes to AI. And if you don't know how to communicate with these tools, then you will forever be saying that these tools are not good. Taking a step back, what you just said is what a lot of people are doing right now, how they're using these tools, that they're just giving it vague information and then coming online and saying these tools are not good.
Yeah.
And they're giving up on it, not realizing that their next $1 million idea or their next $1 million cash flow in their business is going to be able to come from these tools. So the biggest thing is I look at when you have the ability to double down on what is the result that you're looking for and starting there and then working backwards, the tool will give you everything you need as long as it has the information that you've given it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, founder, educator, public speaker, and AI business strategist extraordinaire. She's the founder of Future IQ and AIM Academy, platforms built to help business owners and leaders scale smarter by installing AI systems that actually drive revenue and not just productivity. From being featured in Forbes magazine to educating and reaching hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs globally, she is competing in one of the most digital environments imaginable and doing it all by teaching AI through systems, strategy, and monetization needed to help you win. And whether she's showing business owners how to build AI cash flow systems or teaching entrepreneurs how to stop being bottlenecked by cloning themselves with automation, her mission remains the same: to help entrepreneurs stop consuming AI content and start owning AI systems that generate real income, real leverage, and real control. And today, she's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Toronto, Canada, I'm here with the one, the only, Miss Edwina McKinnon. How are you, family?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. That was really good.
I appreciate it. I've never seen somebody with the double wave. I will take it. How are you? Welcome to New York.
Yes.
Very excited to have you on the show. I have been watching. I think we got connected, funny enough, around at like an event at like an InvestFest or something along those lines.
And yes,
I started doing my research into you. I said, this woman is absolutely incredible. I need to move mountains to get her on here. Had to jump through some hoops and ladders, but we are finally here and I'm excited for the people to learn a lot about you.
Awesome. Me too. I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Most definitely. So I know, of course, I am familiar with you, but there may be some individuals, unfortunately, who aren't. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Miss Edwina McKinnon?
One word, trailblazer.
I love it.
Yeah, that's exactly. So if this is the first time you're hearing my voice, very much known as a trailblazer. And I'll take you guys kind of back in history a little bit.
Okay.
So started my first business at the age of 9 years old called Razzle Dazzle. And just even getting to that point of wanting to start my own business, I was truly inspired by being in one of those convenience stores. I don't want to age myself, but this goes way back. I don't know if you ever experienced this, being in a convenience store where you're seeing kids buy those little candies for 25 cents.
Yep.
And I remember standing there in that moment, age 9, not having a quarter to be able to buy those little candy rings that all the kids were buying. So that kind of illuminated my mindset right away on the movement of money and how important it was. It could get you the things that you need and also want. So started having a burning desire at the age of 9 years old to not just think about money in a box, but take it a step further, success. So have a longevity of starting businesses from a very young age. And then from there, just learning about and being obsessed with business. So from there, that started my path in doing things that a lot of people my age weren't doing. And just thinking about what was actually happening in the society and economics, and then thinking about how could I position myself to be able to be successful. So one word, trailblazer. I do a lot of things, even with AI, trailblazing the space, especially for people of color right now. So yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Let's unpack that a little bit more. Did you come from a family where entrepreneurship was exposed to you in any way, whether you had like a mom or a dad that had businesses of their own, or did you come more so from a traditional background where you're pretty much the only one that was into entrepreneurship and everyone else either had some type of a career or a 9-to-5?
Definitely came from a background of entrepreneurship. A direct source to it was my father, my dad. He was an entrepreneur. He believed in not working for anyone. And that mindset kind of seeped through my whole family. I have uncles, aunties that are also entrepreneurs. So it just kind of naturally made sense. When I was younger, just seeing how the dynamics in my household worked, my father would go out to, which he was a salesman naturally. So he would go out and sell literally anything and everything. And that kind of taught me the control of not having to work for someone, and getting validation through a title. So yeah, no, I was exposed to it very young. And then throughout my whole journey, I always questioned employment and ownership. So just being able to have that mindset from a very young age, I always knew that I was not meant to work for anyone, to be honest. That's just in my bloodline. I was designed and destined for entrepreneurship and ownership. And I think that was the big thing. I went through different jobs, and my position was really different when I went through working for billion-dollar companies. I positioned myself to get a salary, yes, but I looked at it as a way to gain knowledge.
Yeah.
So while others were like, no, I want to get up the corporate ladder, I want to do this, I want to grow with the company, my mindset was like, no, you guys could be my first investors.
Yeah.
So when I worked for the company, I was asking lots of questions like, why are you making this decision? Why are you doing that? Why do you have 12 teams across globally, right? What's the biggest impact in the business? And from then, I learned a lot about sales and the bloodline of all businesses, which is sales and money, profits, revenue. So started very young with having people around me be able to show me how important ownership was and owning your own business, controlling your own narrative. And that's kind of what set everything up. Offer me.
That's actually very unique for me to hear, because I think for me, normally when I sit down with entrepreneurs like yourself, I'm used to hearing most entrepreneurs almost like be the black sheep of their family, where they come from households where they are like the only ones that had a passion for just hustle or just being their own boss, and everyone else had a traditional path. They kind of got to a point of friction where they're like, I can't do the traditional path, I have to go elsewhere. But to your point, entrepreneurship is in your blood. It was something that you were exposed to from very young. You know, your father was involved in it. And I think what's great about that, you even talk about how even with your first, you know, you getting into the working in professional spaces, you didn't view it as a deterrent, but rather as a stepping stone to say, okay, I'm going to learn your systems, I'm going to learn your processes, and I'm going to use that to kind of propel me to what I know I really want to do, which is business. Talk a little bit more about that, how your kind of first venture into the professional space helped to launch you into, you know, further into your journey as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was making a lot of mistakes.
I think that's what you're supposed to do, though.
I was making a lot of mistakes on my own. And that's when I had this, you know, illumination. And I still actually do believe that it's important that entrepreneurs actually start working for other companies. I understood that companies, what I saw is that longevity. They were in business for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And my thing is, why wasn't I like I started and stopped so many businesses, and I was like, why can't I experience longevity? So what I ended up doing in college, I actually ended up taking up a really high level opportunity. But I went in with the mindset is that I want to learn why you guys are still in business. So when I went and I took up all these different positions, it was with that mindset. So that actually propelled me 100%, because I understood how businesses ran, why things were done, why there was these roles, managers, you know, customer service supports, operations, admin. Mm-hmm. And I became obsessed with wanting to learn from those above me. Mm. So I seeked out mentors very early when I worked for these companies. Meanwhile, in their mind, they're like, yeah, Edwina's like, she really wants to get up that corporate ladder and she really wants to be a manager. But in my mind, I'm like, no, I actually want to know what makes you so successful. Mm-hmm. And then I became a force to be reckoned with because I was learning from literally every opportunity available. So if you had customer service support in the company, I'm sitting with the managers at lunchtime asking them, how's things going? Tell me what decisions you're making. Why are you making those decisions? So it propelled me to allow me to, number one, yes, I was failing when I was starting and stopping these businesses. Mm-hmm. But then when I jumped into actually working and having a job, I took that as an investing in myself. And take it a step further, a lot of these companies, and I don't know if people know this, but they give you money towards certifications. Mm. So every year, a company will give you about $10,000, sometimes $15,000, or they'll cover your opportunity to go get certified in different things. Mm-hmm. So every year, I would leverage the educational spending cap from these companies to put myself through different certifications, right? And I would pose it in a way where I'm like, no, I need the certification so I can be a better employee. But my mindset was like, no, I need the certification so I can go run it up in my own company.
Right.
Because I knew that there was what the results looked like. I knew what the goal was. And the goal was to be a multimillionaire and be able to have ownership. Mm-hmm. So I leveraged a lot of that to propel a lot of the successes that I've had. Mm-hmm. And throughout that, one of the things that kept coming up was profits, revenue, cash flow. Mm-hmm. And I became obsessed with those three things. And every business that I had since then, if it wasn't providing cash flow, revenue, or any sort of profits and eating up a lot of time, I looked at it as distraction. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that mindset and teaching came because my mentors were running billion-dollar entities and I was leveraging them at lunch break, asking them all these questions. Instead of sitting there and just staring out the window, I would actually go eat lunch with those individuals so I can be able to run up the bag behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, that's exactly what propelled me to be successful and then start having successful businesses from there.
So how do you now, because I want to connect the dots. How do you now go from being in that setting to now venturing into the artificial intelligence space?
Trailblazer. So you had asked me in the beginning, who is Edwina? Mm-hmm. I'm a trailblazer, meaning that I love to get into things early. Mm-hmm. I am a visionary. So I always see where things are going. As soon as I heard about AI and I started using it, because AI has been around for a while, mm-hmm. the public got an interface to that. And that interface was ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the day where I'm like, I started using it and then I started researching it and understanding that these large corporations actually had access to AI for a very long time. Mm. So I started thinking, how does this look for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Mm. I said that this is a renaissance that's taking place. And that's what shifted me into AI is, number one, when I started kind of dabbling with it and getting into more of the tech spaces, mm-hmm. there was a missing demographic that were in these rooms when I would enter. A lot of the times I'd be the only Black woman or the only woman mm-hmm. in these spaces. And I said, this is not right. So I started building what I call a table that invites people of color and women, especially to be able to get into the space. So that's why I pivoted completely everything to AI. So like I actually dedicated the next 2 decades of my life to AI. Yeah, I completely stopped everything that what I was doing. And mm-hmm. I said, this is going to be where I lay my next roots. This is where I'm going to expand and harvest my next season.
Mm. With all the time that you invested into it, especially in such a, because like you said, for most people, we kind of just look at ChatGPT like, oh, this has just gotten here. But to your point, you were in rooms where you were hearing these conversations far before a lot of people are hearing it now. Was there a moment along that 2-decade span where you realized through you going through these rooms that you being in this space finally started to click and you were figuring it out and you started to hit your stride?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things, and I always like to drop this, but the first day that I found out about ChatGPT was through a family chat. My family is very much, we're a different breed. So we're always like pouring into each other. We're using our family chat as a way to level up our skill sets, as a way to let people know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you should do. And my sister, Ray, one day she had dropped in ChatGPT into the chat. After going through and learning what ChatGPT really is, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is definitely going to be a game changer. The very first moment I knew that I need to definitely dedicate the next 10 years of my life to AI. That's what tipped it completely. And I knew that representation was huge for me. Mm-hmm. So when I started looking to my left and I started looking to my right and not seeing anybody that actually looked like me in these spaces, that's where I said, no, there's a huge problem here. Mm. So I became very obsessed, almost delusional towards AI. And everything I did, eat, sleep, breathe, became circulated all around AI.
So let's kind of go to the grassroots ground level stage for leaders and entrepreneurs and even professionals that may be watching this episode that are where you were when you were first getting into the space. But we're here today in 2026. If I'm a business owner that comes to you and I know absolutely nothing about leveraging artificial intelligence in my business, what would you say is the first step that I would need to take to get started and just getting my feet wet in this space?
Right now, entrepreneurs are looking at AI backwards. Mm. They're starting with tools, AI tools first, before actually starting with a result or a goal. So if you're starting off trying to figure out how to start, you got to start off with, okay, what is the result that you're seeking? What is the goal that you want to, what is the bottleneck in your business that you need to fix? And from there, it becomes obvious where to start. Because right now, a lot of entrepreneurs are overwhelmed with all these different tools. And the average entrepreneur has about 45 subscriptions right now. Right?
And that's being conservative.
Yeah, and that's being conservative.
Yeah.
And this is why people are overwhelmed, is because you're chasing AI tools instead of actually looking at the problem that you need to solve within your business. That is the biggest thing. So if I was to start somewhere, I would start with what is the problem that I'm trying to solve? What is the bottleneck in my business that I need to fix immediately? And then the tools will naturally make sense, right? So if you see a tool online that's saying you can do this, instead of you looking at that tool, you're like, no, I need to focus on this particular task, this particular bottleneck. And that's where I would actually start, is right there, focusing on what in your business is not doing well, or what in your business is doing well, and how could you leverage AI to multiply it?
What are some of the most common problems, whether it's for yourself or even with other business owners that you work with, that you see that they typically run into, that they're able to kind of see, okay, these are typically the two or three things that most business owners are struggling with that they're able to start implementing AI into immediately, from your experience?
The biggest thing is the entrepreneur feeling like they have to be involved in every aspect of their business.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it Walter?
Yeah.
Zoom right in.
There you go. Put the camera on, Walter.
The biggest thing is entrepreneurs connect themselves to every piece of the business. So this is the biggest issue right now. And it comes from this like hustle mindset where if you're not doing this all the time, then you're actually not working hard enough. So that's the biggest thing right now, is that systems can't grow in businesses right now because the entrepreneur is the system. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing right now. Forget about the tools. Forget about the features of the tools and all this magic land that's happening in AI. Right now, AI can't dwell in chaos. AI multiplies things. And if things are unclear, AI will multiply things that are unclear. And if things are super clear, AI will multiply things that are clear. So the biggest problem right now that I see, especially when I'm consulting businesses right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to be in this. I need to do that. Mm-hmm. I need to do that. A system is a repeatable flow of things that happen without the founder having to be there for the result to actually take place. And if the founder is in every step moving it forward, then there is no systems within the business. Mm. And you had asked me something when I was working at different organizations. One of the biggest things that I learned is systems. Mm. That's how companies could be here today and still here in 30 years because they have systems. Most entrepreneurs are failing right now and struggling is because they are the system. Mm. They are the automation. Mm. They are the tech flow in their business. So that's one of the biggest things. And then also not focusing on sales.
Mm.
That's a big thing. If there's no money coming into the business, there is no business, right? And then also, if there's no systems, there's no systems, there's no revenue, there's no profits, mm-hmm. meaning you're going to be in a rat race. And that's why most businesses get stuck in startup mode mm-hmm. for 5 years because they're doing everything and anything and wearing all the hats. AI has leveled the playing fields mm-hmm. for businesses now. So what large tech corporations had access to, we have access to now.
Yeah.
So it's almost like really and truly AI is actually exposing things now within the business of what should and should not be there.
Mm. So the two biggest constraints right now for most business owners is around the time or the entrepreneurs, not only they don't have a system, but they've bottlenecked themselves to where they are essentially the system. But then also sales. Was that something that you've dealt with personally in your early stages of being in business? And if so, what were the actionable steps that you took to kind of remove that constraint that other people are able to learn from?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things is when I had a business and I went on vacation and when I came back, there was no business. When I'm on vacation, there's no business.
Okay.
I learned that very quick.
Right.
I'm like, wait a second, what's going on here? If I'm not actually here, the business is actually not moving.
Right.
Did I learn that from my personal experience? Absolutely. Mm. I was wearing all these hats. I was lead generation. I was the brand, the face of the brand. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with the sales nurturing, customer support, operations, literally everything in the business I was. So within my personal experience and my personal journey, I was realizing that I was the bottleneck.
Mm.
And then when I fell upon AI, I started learning that you can actually create a whole AI cash flow system within your business that really focuses on revenue generating systems. That so when you step away and you decide to go on vacation to Bora Bora, you can actually go away and come back. So when we look at one of the biggest bottlenecks, I always think about lead generation.
Mm.
When the client actually comes through the door, either through a website, through a landing page, through a DM, through a random connection or referral.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times the entrepreneur is meeting that lead right there.
Yeah.
And it's actually not going through any sort of an AI cash flow system or any sort of a system at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's the founder that's hand-holding them throughout the whole process. So that was the biggest thing that I noticed is that there needs to be a repeatable step-by-step process that gets a lead from where they are to getting them to the decision maker at a certain point, not from the beginning stages.
Mm. Let's break that down a bit more. One of the things you talked about earlier, you talked about through your experience, and even we both know this, that sales is the lifeblood of what allows a business to run. So we talked about sales and we talked about the time constraint. I know your primary specialty is around monetizing AI. Where do you see the biggest opportunity for cash flow, increasing cash flow for entrepreneurs right now through leveraging artificial intelligence and systems?
I think the biggest monetization is actually analyzing within your business what is actually working and then getting AI in there to multiply it.
Mm.
That is the biggest thing. So whatever your top selling product or service is, it's analyzing where is the frictions with buying that particular product or service and then getting AI in there to be able to either automate or even create the whole system itself to allow you to be able to remove yourself out of the friction. So a lot of people won't start there. And I feel like that is the biggest opportunity right now is starting where you actually are making the most amount of revenue and money. And wherever there's a friction or a bottleneck, you're mm-hmm. done getting AI in the actual weeds of the business. So instead of looking at AI as a separate tool, you're now integrating it as even an employee to be mm-hmm. able to actually do that particular task to remove the friction.
Mm. I've heard people mention that, but I've seen, so for example, I've heard reports come out where they've said like at some point in time, because you talk about leveraging artificial intelligence as an employee, there have been reports that came out that have said at some point in time, there will be a $1 billion company where like it's ran by one man and essentially every other nook and cranny of the business is 100% artificial intelligence. I don't know how far removed we are from that now, but what does that process look like if we want to be able, you talked about finding something that's already working in our business and essentially integrating artificial intelligence into it to kind of take it to another level. What does that look like right now?
Yeah, I think it's understanding that AI is replacing task, not human.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we're at a point yet where AI could replace a whole human right now.
Mm.
I look at it as task. So something like a mundane task that's being done over and over and over again, example is customer support.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at customer support, that particular task that doesn't really take much brain genius, mm-hmm. to be honest, could be actually replaced that task by AI. But I don't think we're at a point yet where a whole role could actually be replaced by AI.
Mm-hmm.
So I first would take a step back to look at the role that you're trying to replace and seeing where we are right now with AI, and then taking that AI and replacing it with that particular task.
Mm. How difficult would you say it is for us to start implementing or leveraging artificial intelligence in our business? Because I think for some people, they still look at it as like, this is an entirely different language that I'm learning here. I to where they don't even want to touch it. Like there are certain individuals that still haven't put their hands on tools like I think it's called like a Perplexity or a ChatGPT or any of these other ones. How difficult is it for individuals to start implementing it into their business today using a lot of the things that we're talking about now?
It's very easy, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of these tools is very easy to use. I think it comes down to a little bit of the mindset though.
Okay.
Right? Because when you think about tech, you think about, okay, I can't figure this out, and you start putting it as a tech thing. But right now it's actually very easy to use. All you have to do is think about the role that you need help with instead of the actual particular problem that you're particularly solving. I would look at the role itself that you need to fix, and then you take that particular tool and support it. So instead of looking at tools, I work in category.
Okay.
So I would look at what is the first thing that you need support in. The biggest thing I see entrepreneurs that need support in is just general intelligence, being able to think faster, make decisions, writing, strategizing, brainstorming, problem solving. I would look at first that category and then pinpoint it to a particular tool to be able to fix that problem.
Mm, interesting. So let's say, if I wanted to use an example, let's say my biggest issue that I had in my business is that I'm terrible when it comes to just anything customer service. Like, do not have me have to check on my clients. If they paid me to do something, don't have me check on their where they are in the customer journey experience or anything. I just want to focus on making content and selling my stuff. All the back end things, I don't want to handle it. And I realize that is the biggest thing that's holding my business back, because my customer service in my business is just terrible. How can I now reverse engineer that to potentially find systems around artificial intelligence that I can implement?
Absolutely. So I wouldn't chase many tools, I just get and master one tool.
Okay.
So as an example, if you don't want to deal with the back end, I would just actually train one tool on your whole entire business. You can actually upload different documents mm-hmm. to these tools where it has a solid knowledge base mm-hmm. on what exactly you're doing. So I would actually start there. Is you don't need to get into an overwhelm of AI tools. You just focus on one tool. Mm. So if you need something that's going to help you on the back end, to be honest, hands down, there's so much different tools that you can choose from. I personally don't like to focus on the brand name mm-hmm. of tools, because every time you look around, these tools are changing on a daily basis. So I would more focus on building out a system. Mm. So that system doesn't even matter what tool you're using in that system, as long as it's there, because these AI tools are changing on a honestly, a weekly basis. Mm. So I would make sure that I have a solid system. And then you would take that system and then master that one AI tool.
Mm.
Whether it's ChatGPT, whether it's Perplexity, whether it's Manus.im. I think it's understanding too, like, what these actual tools are good for.
Mm-hmm.
And then sticking it within those particular systems that you create.
Mm. Talk to me a bit about prompting, because I watch a lot of your content, and just even from my experience in leveraging artificial intelligence, regardless of the tool or the system, seems like that's like the make or break that allows for us to get the most out of artificial intelligence. What is the approach that we can take when it comes to how we're communicating with some of these different AI platforms that are available to us so that we're able to get the most out of them to assist us with fixing certain things in our business?
Understanding that you're talking to a machine. That's the first step.
Okay.
As much as it sounds like you're talking to a friend or an acquaintance, there are rules on how you communicate with these tools.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most amount of money I've spent in my whole career with certifications around AI is prompting with Reason. Because I understood really early that there is a way that you have to communicate with these tools to get the best result.
Mm.
So one of the biggest mistakes that I see is there's a couple of things. The first one is for every platform that you use, there's actually an academy that they offer you for free.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Because most people are just throwing themselves at these tools and hoping for the best. Right?
That's me.
So if we look at like google.com,
mm-hmm.
we didn't really get a manual mm-hmm. on how to use google.com. We just jumped in. We're like, got a question?
Yeah.
Put it in.
Yep.
We get the these blue links. We go through it and we hope we find the answer that we need.
Mm-hmm.
With like ChatGPT, Perplexity, all these tools, they actually have a whole resource center that teaches you how to prompt to get the right and best response for their particular tool.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will overstep that main part right there of learning. There's a learning curve to it. And a lot of people are just jumping in and just like saying, okay, let me just figure this out on my own. You can't figure it out on your own. That's why, like, as an example, OpenAI, which is the founders of ChatGPT, they have a whole an academy for free.
Didn't know this.
That tells you exactly how to prompt to get the best. They even have it broken down now into category and industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step number one.
Mm-hmm.
Step number two is the prompts are so vague. You're going in and you're saying, write me this, do that, handle this,
mm-hmm.
write me a caption for Instagram. It's missing context and constraints.
Yeah.
It's missing information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like I'll use this analogy. It's like you're in a relationship and you're telling somebody you want something done, but you're missing the key parts of what you need done.
Mm-hmm.
The person is going to get super confused and then they're going to start assuming what you need. And then all of a sudden you're frustrated because the person's not listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same balance that goes into prompting and communicating with these tools. Something that I highly recommend is spending at least 3 hours. 3 hours
mm-hmm.
with whatever tool of choice you choose
mm-hmm.
and actually doing voice dictation and doing a brain dump of everything that you're trying to achieve, your business, your content, if you're trying to be a millionaire, telling it everything that you've been up to.
Mm.
Because the more that it knows about you is the more that it can actually support you with the prompts that you're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first step is like, and I'll just go through that, is education.
Mm-hmm.
Do not skip the learning curve that takes place on these tools. And then number two is spending time with the tools so it can actually support you with the actual output of what it gives you. And understanding too that you're not going to get the best result by just giving it one simple task or question up front. It needs to be a conversation mm-hmm. ongoing. So whatever that result that you're looking for, you're not going to get it in the first result. You're going to mm-hmm. have to keep going in and prompting it a little bit more to refining it. So that's hands down, you will be more successful than 99% of the people right now
mm-hmm.
when you add more context into what you're trying to do.
Yeah, even for myself, I know it's a machine, but I personally speak to ChatGPT literally like, or not even Chat, just really any AI. Like I'm speaking to an assistant of mine. And I'll literally give it the entire backstory of whatever problem I'm trying to solve. And then I'm like, all right, now that you have this context, this is the problem, this is the solution, this is what I'm thinking about doing. And then I'll kind of have a back and forth conversation with it. And then from there, I'll extract whatever it is I use. Versus I'll see individuals, to your point, that like have a problem that they're looking to solve and just like, hey, help me write an essay. I don't know the subject matter of the essay. I don't know who the essay is for, how long you want it to be, what you're trying to accomplish. So to your point, in turn, you get a very generalized answer because you're giving very generalized prompts. So I think it's safe to say that prompting, when done correctly, can very much so make or break the experience that we have with leveraging artificial intelligence in our business.
Prompting is king. And for now, prompting is king.
Okay.
How you communicate with these tools is hands down one of the most fundamental skills when it comes to AI.
Mm.
And if you don't know how to communicate with these tools, then you will forever be saying that these tools are not good.
Mm.
And taking a step back, what you just said is what a lot of people are doing right now, how they're using these tools, that they're just giving it vague information mm-hmm. and then coming online
yep.
and saying these tools are not good.
Yeah.
And they're giving up on it, not realizing that their next $1 million idea or their next $1 million cash flow in their business is going to be able to come from these tools.
Mm.
So the biggest thing is I look at is when you have the ability to double down on what is the result that you're looking for and starting there and then working backwards, the tool will give you everything you need as long as it has the information that you've given it.
Mm.
But if you come into an open chat and you said, hey, write me a caption and do good
mm.
and be good, like this is what people are saying to it, it's like... What are you expecting?
Yeah.
You know, and then you're coming and, you know, putting down these AI models
right.
that are actually, that have even higher PhD knowledge than mm-hmm. the average person right now. So like, I always say, you got to start with prompting.
Mm.
And I spend a lot of my time learning prompting
mm-hmm.
because that is what, like even my whole social media,
mm-hmm.
I put up a lot of prompts to help people move forward. And people are like, oh my gosh, this is an amazing prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you got to spend time with crafting different ways of communicating with these tools mm-hmm. for a better result. But you, as an entrepreneur, if you don't double down on how to communicate with these tools, then you will forever be lost
mm-hmm.
with how to use these tools.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of communicating with these tools and prompting, I've actually seen you create content where you talked about leveraging artificial intelligence to make it seem as if you're speaking with industry leaders like Alex Hormozi or even a Grant Cardone. Is it actually possible for us to turn AI almost into like a mentor for us in our business, to where we can leverage the expertise of people we may not have direct access to, but almost make it seem as though we have access to them through these tools? Is that a real thing?
Absolutely. I do that all the time. Alex Hormozi is my coach.
how, break that down for me.
Yeah. So the way that AI works right now is you can upload a lot of data to these tools.
Mm-hmm.
And the data that you give it, it can synthesize around the information that you've provided to it.
Mm-hmm.
So walking step by step is, if we take Alex Hormozi or even Myron Golden, because these two I've already created coaches right now for. They have so much content online, it's insane.
Right.
So the trick is that you go through all of their content and you grab the ones that really need, that really resonate with you, and you really want to either have access to on the go. So you take all of their content, upload it to a document, and you would organize the document, and you take that document and you can upload it to a couple of tools. We'll use ChatGPT as an example. So you can create something called a custom GPT, and all of that information that you have
mm-hmm.
on those individuals, you can literally upload it. And anytime you have a particular question, so Alex Hormozi is really good at offers.
Mm-hmm.
All of my offers that I have right now, I've always stress tested with Alex Hormozi.
The AI bot.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Because he's really good at offers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taken his his whole book on offers, uploaded it to an AI tool, mm-hmm. and then allows AI to synthesize the information. So when I have a question about my offer, it's pulling from the information from Alex Hormozi. Mm. The difference here is that if I didn't do that, it would just give you general responses.
Right.
And sometimes ChatGPT sounds so smart, mm-hmm. but it does a lot of hallucinating, meaning it's making things up.
Mm.
So I like to upload resources and information on particular individuals mm-hmm. to allow me to be able to make better decisions. So whatever the result is, I'll usually connect it to who's the best out in the space right now that I can actually get information from. And Alex Hormozi was like the first one that I did that. And you can literally create a council of people around you virtually through AI to be able to support you on all of your business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that you can do hands down for sure. And that is something that I do absolutely right now. I never make a decision based off of gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like 2016, 2020, it coming from that background, like, oh, I have this like feeling, this gut feeling. This right. is what I should do. Or we have this like this mindset. We're like, yeah, let's just do this because you have a burning desire to do it.
Yeah.
But in 2026, I don't make a decision unless I go through my counsel. Mm. And that could be Myron Golden. That can be Alex Hormozi. That can be Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
That can be TD Jakes. Mm-hmm. Depending on the actual goal I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I will never make a decision in 2026 without these guys' support in what I'm actually doing. So the biggest thing is that you can turn anything online and be able to project it in a way where it could support every decision that you're making.
Mm.
So the answer to that is absolutely.
Beautiful, beautiful. Another thing I've also seen with artificial intelligence I think is interesting, and I think I've even seen glimpses of it on your pages. You talked about, you know, sales being the bloodline of a business. What goes hand in hand with that, of course, is marketing. Marketing is connected to creating content. So I've seen people, even yourself, that have leveraged artificial intelligence around strategies to create content, which I think is the biggest thing, another big thing that most business owners struggle with, right? Most people don't like getting in front of the camera. Most people feel like when they do get in front of the camera, they don't know what to say. But now there are systems and tools that are out there, platforms that are out there that simplify the entire process. Even I've even seen, and I think I've seen this on your page too, individuals that have leveraged artificial intelligence where it's like it's them on screen, but it's not really them on screen. It's almost like a AI version of the person, to where it's like even if you're not comfortable being on camera, there are ways to leverage artificial intelligence too. What are some of the strategies that either you've personally implemented or seen around using AI when it comes to creating content and marketing for our businesses?
Absolutely. There's so much opportunities available right now. There's nothing, I will say though, there's nothing like face-led brands.
Mm.
So those that are face-led brands, you can leverage AI to support you with scripts. And you could, I don't know if anybody realizes this, but I'll give your audience a gem. But you could actually use a tool called Whisper AI.
Mm-hmm.
To record all of the audio from videos that are going viral or trending.
Mm-hmm.
And you take all of the audio and that turns it in and transcribes it into text. And you upload all of the text. So you can go through, like, let's say you have somebody that has a million followers and every video they do, bang, it goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
I will take all of their scripts
mm-hmm.
through an app called Whisper AI
mm-hmm.
and I'll get it to transcribe it into text. Most creators and business owners will just copy, right? That's what's happening, right? They'll just copy what the person's saying, but tweak a few words. For me personally, because I deal with systems, I will upload everything to Claude.ai mm-hmm. and ask it, what is the framework behind why this is going viral every time the person uploads it? And it will literally break down the hook, the mm-hmm. strategy, the voice tone, because I go through whisper.ai, so it listens to the voice tone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will now take that content and what it's been able to synthesize and give it to me, but for my particular direction or flow.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we have access to one of the greatest opportunities of, I say, of a lifetime, is because we could become the greatest in our industry by actually pulling from the greatest already that's doing well. So you're not creating content every single time. You're now creating a system around it in a framework where every time you go to solve a problem in your industry, it's now pulling from the framework from somebody else that's gone viral. I think it's phenomenal because instead of you copying somebody word for word, you're now just taking the strategy behind what did they say there? Why did that hook go off? If you can find, because I'll go back to my previous comment, is that I don't like to deal with tools so much. Mm-hmm. I like to deal with systems.
Yeah.
So if we were to look at it, we touched on general intelligence, having a tool or something that can support you with writing, brainstorming, and strategizing. When I think about the second one, or actually even the third one, you need to find something that takes idea and shifts it immediately to content or to creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like taking, you know, like the example I just gave you, and taking that script, but then you're not just using it as a script. You can now create a whole presentation around it through different tools.
Right.
You can now create an intake form for your client based off of these particular philosophies that you have, even in that script. So there's so much ways and loopholes that you can create these like micro systems around what you do that it actually doesn't really matter sometimes about the tools, because the brand names of the tools is one thing. But when you create a system, the actual tools become so obvious of which tools you need to go and find versus just going after every tool. But content creation became very easy for me when I started working in that framework, analyzing, okay, why did that go? Why was that so successful? When that person said that, why did it hit the way it did? Or even taking it further, like in my business, looking at a system for how do we onboard clients? What is the smoothest way that we can do that with removing the friction? So you can leverage AI in an array of areas, but working in a system of like general intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one for me would be the content creation. Because right now there's so much tools out here that can speed up idea to content.
Right.
The second one for me would be research. Being able to take a lot of information and give you insights on your competitors, on the market trends within your industry, and provide you with insights that you probably would have missed if you didn't have access to all that information before. So those are the three things that I would focus on. And when you talk about content, it becomes so easy. I do want to talk about faceless.
Let's do it.
Because faceless is becoming
very popular.
Crazy.
Yeah. Very, very popular.
AI twins is popping off more than actually human brands right now.
Yep.
And I have I'm mixed on the messages right now, but right now, if you're like an introvert, you could recreate yourself a digital twin. And to be honest, in 2026, if you don't have a digital twin, you're actually already behind. Absolutely. Already behind. We're going to get to probably in the next year, I'd say 6 months to a year, where humans are going to be pitched to create an AI twin very quick. And actually, if you go right now on your Instagram or YouTube, you're going to start seeing all these like AI twins popping up. There's pros and cons. So the pro is that it allows you to 10x yourself. You can be laying in bed. I'll talk to the ladies. You can have no makeup on, laying in bed, not feeling yourself, but you can put out two YouTube videos or two Instagram reels, and you can clone yourself and you're not even there. You're not even talking and it looks so much like you.
Right.
So right now, we're telling people to optimize themselves. But the con to that is that we're going to now see a lot of AI-generated content. And that's going to be pushed completely for the next couple of years. But as a business owner, to be honest, when I talk to a lot of business owners, that's one of the downfalls, is that they don't want to film. They're too busy actually working in the business that they don't have the time to actually work on the business. And if we think about content, content is actually working on the business. Because the more brand and visibility that you have for your business, it's super, And just knowing that, then you could leverage AI twins, AI clones to supersonic yourself online and create more visibility and brand awareness.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. We the two key words we've talked a lot about in this episode so far is tools and systems. But I want to talk about another word that I hear float around a lot in the artificial intelligence space, agents. I've heard about this. I feel like I'm still learning about it and trying to understand it. It almost, from what I understand it to be, it's almost like a mini employee that you can have in a way, depending on whatever tasks you give to it. But from your experience, what exactly is an AI agent, and how does it work within our business?
An AI agent is very different, and I'll compare the two. So let's say you go, I'll give this analogy. You know those vending boxes? I forgot what they're called, but you put money in.
A vending machine?
Vending machine. Thank you.
you basically said the name of it. Just replaced box with it. Vending machine.
Vending machine. You know when you go to a vending machine, you put the dollar in.
Yeah.
And you press the number. It gives you exactly what you need out. That's like a chatbot.
Okay.
The AI agent is, you can actually put the dollar in and tell it to customize the information behind the scenes, tell it exactly what you want. And instead of you just getting that chocolate bar, you can actually get whatever you want. You can get an ice cream. So you can really just customize it to what exactly you want.
Right.
That's really what an AI agent is. It can actually fulfill the task from beginning mm-hmm. all the way to end. Mm. So if you say, here's an example. If you say you want to go, you want to get 30% conversion on an Instagram reel or a YouTube video, the AI agent, which is going to be like, you'd have to customize it, obviously, but let's say it's designed and it's really good at creating content. From end to end, it will start it and finish it and give you the script, tell you where to post, tell you when to post, and go and do the research to make sure that everything flows nicely. That's really what an AI agent is. It allows you to be able to take any task and have it completed from beginning to end. Mm. Where does that fit for business? Because I think that's what you're asking, is that right now, if you think about a repetitive task that doesn't really need human genius, meaning if a lead comes through the door, because if we talk about lead generation, let's say you have a lead that comes through your website. Right now, there are companies that have their employees that are meeting these leads right when they come at the website. But you can actually have an AI agent that's trained on all of your business information that can ask it questions, and literally be able to score that lead and let you know if it's worth your time or not. Mm. Can an agent actually replace human roles right now? I mean, there's so much tools that are trying its hardest, but no, what it's doing is it's replacing tasks.
Mm.
And if there's a particular task that you need to get replaced, then yeah, you can build an agent that can literally complete this task for you. So as an example, I'll bring it back to the lead generation.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that agent that can do it from beginning, technically take it all the way out to when a salesperson needs to get involved.
Mm.
In 2026, we're going to see agents swarm the workforce mm-hmm. and businesses like a military. Once we start understanding how AI agents work, you're going to be able to start using it within your business way more, right? I'll give you an example. Last year, I had 4 virtual assistants. This year, I only have 1. Mm. And the reason why is because I understood that an AI agent can now do the jobs that those three virtual assistants were doing now faster, with less emotion, and more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So an AI agent, can it replace particular jobs and humans? Not necessarily, but it can replace tasks. And what you could do is then reposition the human to where it actually belongs, not in the weeds of doing things that don't really need their expertise or their actual genius. Mm. Something that's very mundane and repetitive.
Mm, mm, mm. Do you think that it'll ever get to a point for most business owners where there's an over leveraging of artificial intelligence to where we've actually overdone it to where we tried to make things more efficient, but in actuality, we've almost created like, I don't know if I'll call it a house of cards, but just more than we need to when it comes to putting too many systems or too many tools in place to help systematize our business? Or do you think that with the right strategy, that's not possible?
With the right strategy, that's not possible, but that's actually not what's taking place right now. A lot of entrepreneurs are having this shiny tool syndrome.
A shiny tool syndrome. I like it. Okay.
Business owners are not asking me about the results, the goals, or any of that now, or the outcomes. They're asking me, what tool is that? That has been a consistent thing and that I've heard in the last couple of years. So can you get to a point where you're using way too much AI tools? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't have a strategy around it,
mm-hmm.
right? So the biggest thing is, like, I'll give you an example.
Let's do it.
There was a lady that I was coaching last year. She brought me into the business to have a look what was going on. When I sat down and spoke with her, she said she's overwhelmed. So I said, okay, what's going on? Tell me why you're overwhelmed. She had about like 100 AI tools, some overlapping each other on particular tasks. So when we talk about, can you have too much AI tools working in the business? Absolutely. Because right now, there's so much AI tools out there that everyone is signing up for all these tools, hoping that it's going to fix chaos.
Yeah.
But AI tools will not fix chaos in a business.
Mm.
Right? So you really have to be careful with how much tools you're bringing in. I personally think you focus on one tool.
Mm-hmm.
You master that one tool. You have that one tool learn everything about you and your business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You don't need a whole lot of an array of tools to be able to create success. You focus on one bottleneck, one friction at one time,
mm-hmm.
and then you start getting into different things. But yeah, there's right now, that's really what's happening right now is people are overwhelmed with so much different tools and they're signing up to all these tools hoping that it's going to fix these problems. But sometimes AI doesn't fix these problems. Sometimes it's just adding to it.
Yeah.
So you got to look at the root cause of what's actually happening, the friction, where is it coming from? And then leveraging just one particular tool.
Where do you see the future of artificial intelligence headed within the next 3 to 5, 5 to 7 years?
That's an interesting question because I don't even think a true AI expert can answer that right now. That's how fast we're moving, I mean.
Wow.
For somebody to say in the next 5 years, I see AI here, then they may not know what's going on with AI.
Mm.
Because right now, there's an AI war that's taking place. We have, yes.
Okay,
I'll elaborate. We have China and the US
mm-hmm.
and different areas that are just creating the best AI tools and competing with each other.
Yeah.
Right? And the biggest thing right now is because they're competing with each other, all these updates are taking place supersonic. And I'll give you an example. ChatGPT 5.0 just came out in November.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at 5.2 within a span of like 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. So they cranking them out.
The updates that are taking place is not even giving the public time to digest these updates.
Yeah.
You're just walking into it, like you're waking up on a Sunday and you're like, oh, wow, ChatGPT or this tool just did an update. Now I have to learn again. So that's what I mean with the AI war that's taking place is that there's countries and nations that are trying to be the best out. So they're competing, which means that every time they're competing, these tools are just getting way more advanced, and the public has no time to actually catch up.
Mm.
Most people haven't even actually used ChatGPT to the ability that it needs to be used at.
Mm.
So where do I see AI in the next 5 years? It's really hard for me to predict, but I feel like if we actually see what's happening right now online, we're going to get to a point where AI will start actually being able to do things without us actually telling it to do it.
Mm.
And I think that's definitely the direction that we're heading in. Is we're going to get to a point, like right now, in order for an AI tool to do something, we have to tell it.
Yeah.
Through a prompt.
Yep.
I believe like in 5 years, we're going to get to a point where the AI tool or these tools that we have access to is actually going to be telling us what to do. Right? And doing things without the need of us to prompt it, right? To do something. I truly believe that's where we're heading.
Which is scary.
And robotics is another thing that I feel like is going to, AI and robotics kind of intertwined, where we're going to start to see more robots in the home. But what's powering those robots is AI.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel like that's where we're going to get to for sure. But right now, like even when I go to AI conferences and we're asking these AI experts these questions, a lot of them can't answer these questions right now because that's how fast AI is moving, that it's very hard to predict the future. If we think about that, if you're actually not using AI right now, and what I just said, maybe it comes to pass, maybe it doesn't, then you are very much outdated.
Right.
It's almost like you're walking into 2026 asking for a fax machine, right? That's how you're going to feel a couple of years from now if you're not actually learning and doubling down on how to use these tools.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
This is really, really good. This is this conversation is even for me, I'm learning so much when it comes to just the difference of approach with artificial intelligence. I'm curious for you, given the years of experience that you have in the space and the lives you've been able to impact, we were talking about it off camera, how you've impacted individuals, not just on a national level with what you're teaching, but on a global level. What would you say at this point in your journey is your North Star? What are you ultimately working towards and looking to establish your legacy as in this space?
I always ask myself a question every year, is what I'm doing, will it outlive me? So that's my North Star right there. I always have to think about if what I'm doing, is it going to outlive me? And if yes, then that's legacy. So that's my North Star. A lot of people don't think about the legacy that they're leaving. And for me, every day that I wake up, I realize every single day I wake up, every decision that I make, every person that I connect with about AI education, that is legacy building.
Yeah.
So that is my North Star, is legacy. Making sure that what I'm doing today is going to outlive me for many, 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 many years. Being able to, and I always laugh about this with my siblings, but, you know, 40 years having my family have a picture of me on the wall and being like, yeah, that's Edwina McKinnon. You know, she's the one that shifted and created generational wealth. So that's my North Star right there, is leaving legacy where my grandchildren, their kids could be able to really be able to be honored by the legacy that I'm leaving here behind.
This is probably been one of my favorite conversations. Definitely one of my favorite conversations when it comes to artificial intelligence. I have to go back and do some homework. I'm definitely gonna have to go back and do some homework when it comes, because I've now learned through this conversation, there's still so much more layers to this. And I appreciate you for not only unveiling that to me, but of course to the audience as well. I know we have to close, but before we get you out of here, my final question for you, you talked a lot about legacy and what you've built and what you're continuing to build. So I ask you this, let's say, for where you sit right now, if Edwina, 10 years into the future, dropped in and sat across from you, and you were able to ask her one question, and she could only give you one answer in one sentence, and then after that, that's it, she vanishes, she goes back to the future, what would you ask her, and what do you think her response would be?
Intertwined with what I just said, is what you've done and what you've built, will it outlive you? That is the only question that makes sense. So sitting with me 10 years from now is definitely asking me that question. Because that will connect the dots to everything that I would have done in the last 10 years. So it's sitting with that question is making sure like everything that you've done up until this point, will it outlive you? Because I focus on legacy building. Absolutely.
Edwina, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate this incredible conversation. I know we have to get you out of here, but before we do, your camera right, where is it? There you go, right there. Let the people know where they can find you, what you have going on, and most importantly, how they can get connected with you.
Absolutely. Connect with me on Instagram. You guys will share my hashtags.
Of course.
And my handle.
Yeah.
And you can find me floating wherever AI is.
There you go.
Okay. So if you're trying to level up with your AI education, if you don't know where to start, if you're a business owner that needs to create AI cash flow systems, if you're not making money in your business, you can find me anywhere online that's talking about AI. You can also catch me at my AI summit that we do. We're hosting it once a month. So I invite you to take part and be a part of creating AI cash flow.
Let's go. I appreciate you so much. But also for everyone who's watching at home, I appreciate each and every single one of you guys. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, show this episode some love. Make sure you get connected with any and all things AI through Edwina and everything that she's building. And I appreciate you guys immensely. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That is the always incredible Miss Edwina McKinnon. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been awesome. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time.